Listening Dog Media.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm actually also enjoying the little plant behind you as well.
I am.
Oh, thank you. You like my plant?
Yeah, a little bit of greenery.
Well, I do like to do my bit. It's because I'm in living room, not bedroom.
Yeah, I like it.
Thank you very much. You've got zero in the background.
Yeah, I've got a framed shirt that still hasn't been hung that is here.
Oh, go on. What's on the frame shirt?
Oh, it's my,
this is the start of the podcast, by the way. Hello, welcome to Outside Centre.
It's a Sevens one.
Go on.
Oh, that shirt is so nice. I'm jealous.
Oh. It's the, for the benefit of listeners, it's the one with the like red, white, and sort of, they're like grey stripes, aren't they? They go across.
So like when there was a few of us that left Sevens to go back to 15s, they framed a shirt for us all. And I've had it for so long and it just hasn't been hung up anywhere. It's just on the floor.
Ellie, are you one of those people that has, like, do you have shirts in frames? And are you one of those people with, you strike me as a chair person. You'd have a chair made up of all your different shirts.
I don't have a chair. I have about 8 shirts in the cupboard over there that I am meaning to frame at some point, but I've been saying that for the last 2 years and they are still not framed. So I will do that at some point. I do have a framed one there of Team of the Season from Premier 15s the other year that also, like Vicky, is not on the wall.
Just on the floor.
Team of the Season? What do you mean?
You get picked as Team of the Season and then like...
Oh!
Your number. So yeah, I haven't actually put that up either.
Again, for the benefit of the listeners, that is Ellie Boatman now leaving her seat to reveal a photo, an artwork of elephants to go and get her Team of the Season. What's that? Photo? What was it? Photo? Artwork.
Photo. Let's go with photo.
Good stuff. Hello and welcome to Outside Centre, a pork-themed podcast and occasionally rugby as well, looking at the women's Six Nations. More to come, by the way, on the pork later on. This is Robbie James. Over there, we have Great Britain 7-star Ellie Boatman.
Hello.
And over there, we have World Cup winner Vicky Fleetwood.
Hello.
Hello. Busy weekend and a lot to get through on this podcast. We're going to look back at busy round 4, which saw wins for England, saw wins for Scotland and saw a win for France. Plus, we're going to look ahead to Super Saturday, where everyone plays in the final day of the Women's Six Nations. But we start with the news that Vicky Fleetwood was busy getting prepared to get married at the weekend. And Ellie Boatman, you were in Scotland on a little training camp, weren't you? How did that go with Great Britain Sevens?
Two very different weekends there.
Very different weekends.
No, it was good. Back up on the west coast of Scotland for a busy few days. We're packing a lot over 4 days to prepare for Singapore. So it was good. It was actually warmer up in Scotland than it was down south in England, which is very rare. So it was a little bit sunny for once, which was lovely. But not quite a hen.
Do.
I got some sun.
Do.
It was nice.
You got some sun in Somerset. Did you manage to kind of keep an eye on what was going on with the rugby? Because I know you were busy. You had a sports day and stuff like that. Did you keep an eye on things?
We actually had really bad like signal and Wi-Fi. So I didn't see any of the results until like when I got home, and then caught up with all the games since being at home.
And let's start, shall we, with the first game of the weekend, because we need to address what was one hell of a day at Twickenham, where, if you missed it, England ran in just the 14 tries in front of just under 50,000 people at Twickenham. They beat Ireland 88-10, and they set up what is a Grand Slam decider with France. We'll get onto that a little bit later on. There were hat-tricks for Ellie Kildone. Shock. There were also a hat-trick for Abby Dow as well. This feels like the big question that everyone was asking after Twickenham was, were England even better than we were maybe expecting them to be, or were Ireland maybe a little worse than we expected them to be?
I think it was a very big event. A lot of those Irish girls have never played at Twickenham before. Like Eve said, she's never played at Twickenham. She's one of the more senior players. So I think for some of those younger girls, it was a big event, probably the biggest crowd they've ever played in front of. And I think they just got caught deer in the headlights, and it was very overwhelming. And I think, yeah, they weren't fully themselves like we have seen. And that happens at games like that where, you know, players haven't played in front of crowds and events that big. It is very easy to get caught up when there's loud music and fans cheering the opposite team. And yeah, I do feel sorry for them, because I think no one wants to see a scoreline like that. Like, obviously it's incredible for England, but we need closer scorelines. We need competitive games to get more fans interested in watching the games. And yeah, it was just a bit of a shame to have it to that extent. And I didn't think it was going to be a scoreline quite like that. I'm not sure what you guys thought.
I kind of thought that it was potentially a bit of both. So England, something just seemed to click with them. Their back line, having played together for a few games now, just really seemed to work. I mean, they ran the same move 5 times in the first half, and Ireland bit every time on the short runner. England played out the back and...
Hang on, what does that mean? Bit every time on the short runner?
So the defender goes towards someone who's running the shorter line or the harder line close to the person with the ball. And then as they do that...
Like a blocker?
There's a kind of, but it's like a legal way to block. So you want two people moving at the same time. One goes in front and then one goes behind. And basically as a defender, you see the two attackers at the same time, and you have to make a decision. If it's run really well, it's so hard to defend because, yeah, you have to make that decision. So the person who's coming hard is going to be your first option. That's the person that you think, if they're, you know, they're running at full speed, you have to kind of, as I said, kind of like bite onto them. And then that frees up the person who's out the back. But they did that 5 times in the first half. And Ireland just kept falling for it.
And it's a good point you make about like rabbit in the headlights type thing. And what Ellie was saying about that, Vicky, do you remember the time where you first maybe ran out in front of like a big crowd and there was a lot of expectation, and that first experience of being like, oh, hang on, this is a level up on anything I've ever experienced before?
That would have happened probably against France away, because they've been getting thousands and thousands to games for years. So even before we kind of got over 10,000 for a home game, we would go away to France and they were just doing something right in it. Like their town or city where they host a game, everyone just gets behind it. However, I've also faced New Zealand in New Zealand, and that was an absolutely terrible tour. 2013, I want to say it was.
I mean, it worked all right the year after. You did go and win the World Cup, so it prepared you well.
Yes.
If you're one of those England players, you're like, there's too many of you here, aren't you? Or if you're John, I feel so sorry for John Mitchell. Like, how on earth do you go about picking 15 best players? Like, yeah, it's a nightmare.
It's tough when everyone is so good.
Yeah.
However, they did... They did have another 10 minutes where they went down to 14.
Oh, yeah, of course. Do you want to talk about that? Yeah, so a second...
Is that 3 from 4? That they've lost players? Or are they in every game?
Or is it every game?
Has it been every game?
No, I think it's 3 from...
3 from 4.
Yeah, I think it's three from four. So is that kind of, but we kind of spoke about that last week, didn't we? And said that like, they've all been quite separate incidents. So it's not something that they're necessarily being coached wrong.
And this is why backs do not get involved in malls.
Oh yeah, it was Lucy Packer, wasn't it? Brought down the mall.
I also feel like she might not know that law because she's a back. Maybe she didn't realise that she can't tackle someone and she can't do that.
Should we get the back, Ellie Boatman, to explain that rule in 10 seconds?
When a maul is formed, you can't tackle someone or bring the maul down to the floor because that is illegal. That you can't do that, or otherwise that's a yellow card offence, especially if they're rolling into a try. Is that good enough?
Yeah, so, well, it wouldn't necessarily be a yellow card offence. It would be a penalty offence, but because of where it was on the pitch, and it obviously looked like Ireland were going to score, they got a penalty try from it.
Ah, yes, that's what I meant.
It's good stuff, that. It's good in-depth knowledge. Love it. Right, shall we move on to our second game of the weekend, which was Italy against Scotland in Parma. And it was a good afternoon to be a Scotland fan. Scotland beating Italy 17-10 in Parma to secure their first ever win away in Italy in the Six Nations. It also now puts them in with a really, really good shout of securing third place in the championship, which would mean a World Cup qualification spot as well. So a huge, huge moment for Scotland in Parma. And it felt like Scotland kind of answered that question, Ellie, as to whether or not they could come back from that defeat and that disappointment to England. It felt like they came back with a bang, and I hate that phrase, but I'm going
to
say it.
They did, and I would like to say that they have been the underdogs of the tournament, like I predicted. So very smug on that one, but no, they just seem like everything has kind of come together this tournament, and I think, to be honest, it's probably years in the making because a lot of the players in that team have been in a Scotland shirt for a long time. Like, it was Rona Lloyd's 50th cap. And yeah, I can't believe it's her 50th cap. And she's not actually that old. Like, a lot of those girls have been in the team for a long time. So I'm really delighted for them that it's actually coming together and they fully deserve to qualify for the World Cup.
Also, did you see Rona Lloyd and I think it was Locatelli as well, Isabella Locatelli? They were both winning their 50th caps, and I've never seen this before, but they ran out hand in hand and then like put their like hands over the match ball, which is quite nice.
Oh, that's sweet.
A good point as well, actually, on Rona Lloyd, that if you're new to rugby and you're one of those people who just likes following the personalities, Rona Lloyd is someone you need to follow on TikTok and you need to follow on Instagram and you need to watch her play rugby as much as possible because she will bring you so much joy as a human and as a rugby player. She is excellent, isn't she? On Italy then, Vicky, what did you make of them? Because they kind of, it felt like they kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit. They had a really good moments in the Six Nations, but ultimately you look at that and you're like, oh, it's the first ever defeat to Scotland at home in the Six Nations. It's not great. And it was a good atmosphere in Parma as well.
Yeah, I actually found the game really difficult to watch because we spoke about it running like into it. So last week we were talking about how this game would be very like a final in how it was played and how, feel like when two teams are matched like in the way that they were, that over the last few seasons it's kind of gone one way or the other and they're kind of both there or thereabouts and it's kind of anyone's game for the taking. I think everyone starts off very jittery. There were so many turnovers, knock-ons, and it was very stop-start, and I just found that was quite difficult to watch. And again, we've spoken about it in previous games where it's like they get too excited and then they do something a little bit stupid. And yeah, they're showing some real promise. They really are. But I think Scotland really deserved that win because they'd improved their lineout from the previous games. That functioned a lot better. I just think they were a little bit smarter on the day, so they really deserved that win.
Let's move on to our final game of the weekend, which took place on Sunday at Cardiff Arms Park. And France ran in six tries to inflict yet another heavy defeat on Wales. They won 40-0. It means that both sides go, both sides go 4-4 in the tournament, but one side goes 4 from 4 wins and the other side goes four from four losses. It kind of hurt watching Wales at the weekend, and it hurts watching them at the moment because they are so... I don't know if you both agree with me with this, but they are so in games, but equally so out of games. Does that make any sense whatsoever?
Yeah, 100%. There's definitely a confidence issue or something going on there because, as we've said in past weeks, they have all of the ability and obviously professional contracts, players playing in the PWR, like playing for club week in, week out, really talented players, but something's not clicking and something's not working there. And I don't know whether there's something going on in terms of coaching staff, but it is evident that their confidence is just really low at the moment, which is, again, quite hard to watch because they had made so much progress before and they were in WXU1 and they were challenging some of the top teams. And then to lose four games on the bounce in the Six Nations is just really uncharacteristic. So I think something needs to be reviewed post-Six Nations. We obviously don't want to see that happening to teams, but yeah, there's definitely a confidence issue going on there. And even the post-match interview, I think Hannah Jones, the captain, said like, oh, you know, we challenged France and like was quite positive about it. And I was thinking, you just lost 40-0. Like, I'd be absolutely gutted. And it was quite upbeat, but I think that's literally just reality where they're at right now. Like, they're having to take some sort of positive from it because it has not been great at all. But yeah, I did see a little bit of backlash on social media about it because in the men's game, if you saw Wales losing 40-0, you wouldn't see interviews like that post-game. So yeah, something definitely needs to be reviewed post-Six Nations for sure.
Do you think she truly believes that though? Or as you say, she's just trying to be positive? Because the worst thing is when your captain's being negative about your performance. Like, actually, if they can draw on some positives, like any little positivity that they can bring in, like, you know, they've got one more game, like, how can they improve and do better in that one? Because at the moment, yeah, just, it's definitely not the Wales of old, the Wales that we know. And I know that they've kind of been blooding some younger players, but so have a lot of the other teams. And I just think, like Ellie says, just they're not clicking. Like, what's going on? Is there something like below the surface that obviously we can't see? We're not involved. We're not in camp. We don't know what's going on there. But we spoke about how kind of they've had these full-time contracts now for quite some time. And before the start of this tournament, I was backing them to kind of be the underdogs and to be the ones that could go and perform well, just because their players are doing so well week in, week out at club. And it just isn't transferring when they're in that Welsh shirt.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a few positives for Welsh fans listening, they have had now that six debutants as of Sunday they've had during the tournament so far. So that was something. But yeah, it does feel, it's always sad whenever you see a Welsh rugby side not playing to their potential. It's always quite sad, isn't it? But that segues quite nicely onto what is happening this week and onto round five then. So to give you an idea of what we've got Wales against Italy at the Principality, 12:15 on Saturday. By the way, this is Super Saturday. So for anyone who doesn't know, Super Saturday, final day of the Six Nations, all the sides play. It's a long day of rugby. 2:30, it's Ireland against Scotland. That's taking place in Ulster. Then at 4:45, the showdown. France against England in Bordeaux. Let's start, though, with Wales against Italy, because it's going to happen in the Principality Stadium, the actual massive stadium that's right next to Cardiff Arms Park, where they've played their other couple of home games. It's going to be a massive atmosphere. But the issue is, Ellie, the people that put on the Principality Stadium will have thought, yeah, final game against Italy, we will have won a couple of games, we'll be playing for something. They are playing for something, and it's trying not to get the wooden spoon, which, by the way, we'll come on to, but it's basically what you get if you come last in the tournament.
Yeah, to be honest though, I do think that the Welsh team attract a decent number of fans and there's always a pretty good turnout in Wales. So I still think people are going to turn up and support them. And I hope so, and I hope they get a backing. I am worried that Italy are going to win though, with just how low confidence has been. And like, it's really hard to turn that around. I mean, in 15s, like you've said in one of the previous podcasts, at least you do have kind of a week to like work on what went wrong and things, but it's still a relatively tight turnaround when things aren't going right. So, and a lot needs to be done in training if they are going to get a good win this weekend. And, you know, Italy have looked a little bit more good in attack. Like they've looked like they're going to score a lot more than Wales have, the Six Nations. So I'm going to go with Italy, sadly. And I didn't think I'd be saying that before this tournament.
Yeah, Italy could pick up. In theory, they could actually pick up World Cup qualification and third place with a bonus point win, depending on how results go elsewhere. You would have thought with both sides to play for, it will kind of come down to a bit of talent, will it, Vicky? And like, dare I ask, who's going to have the more talent? It feels like a really mean thing to say.
I feel like Wales just need to bring back their physicality. I feel like they've even lost that. And that's something that they have such pride in the shirt. And it just feels like at the moment that's lacking. They don't even need the talent. Bring back the physicality. Bring back the work rate. And
bring back the physicality. Yeah.
I just think then hopefully they could end on a high. You don't want to be the team that lose 5 from 5.
No.
It's not ideal for anyone.
Yeah, so that is Wales against Italy at the Principality, 12:15 to kick it all off on Super Saturday. We then go to the Kingspan, otherwise known as Ulster, for Ireland against Scotland. That is a 2:30 kickoff. Scotland win and they will secure themselves third place and a World Cup spot. Ireland win, they could technically, probably quite unlikely, but they could technically also secure third. My question to you both would be, who is this game bigger for? It feels like a showdown. Like, it feels like big game, this, even though there's nothing actually in terms of trophies riding on it.
I feel like it's bigger for Scotland, and I feel like after how Ireland played last weekend, I think Scotland have got this in the bag. They will go all guns blazing because they want to get that World Cup spot. So this for them is a final. I would have said a couple of games ago, I would have said that Ireland will beat Scotland. I've turned that around. Scotland will win in this weekend.
I'm in agreement. I think Scotland, yeah, they're going to treat it like their World Cup final. And I think it will be their best finish in a long time. So they're on a high at the moment. They're playing with lots of confidence. And yeah, Ireland have just come off an 88-10 in the end. Result at Twickenham, like they are going to be a little bit wounded from that. So I think Scotland are going to have the upper hand, but it will be a tasty game for sure.
Well, this all points towards utter disappointment and Ireland putting 30 points on Scotland on Saturday. So thank you for that confidence boost. And then we move on to the big one. It's the big one if you're an England or a France fan, or probably a neutral, in Bordeaux, France against England. Let's put this very simply. The winner wins the Grand Slam, aka it means obviously you win the tournament, but you've also won all of your games, which is a big deal. And it's a chance for England to win their third consecutive Grand Slam and their sixth Six Nations title in a row. Absolutely mad. The atmosphere in Bordeaux is going to be incredible. There's going to be towels on heads, there's going to be umbrellas because it's going to be boiling and it's going to be great fun. And we're all sad that we're not going to be there. But are Vicky Fleetwood, England firm favourites, or could France cause what I feel would actually be an upset if they won? Would it?
Yeah, it would absolutely be an upset. England are definitely firm favourites going into this. France will be their toughest opposition by far. I don't think England have really been tested for more than half a game against any of the opposition so far. Teams have, you know, gone at them and given it everything for 40 minutes and made England work pretty hard. But yeah, they just haven't been tested. And France will do that. France will test them. But I just think England are far too strong. Their bench will, you know, will come on, raise the tempo. I think England's bench will be far better than France's bench. And then, yeah, they'll kick on.
Go on, Ellie. If you're France, what's your game plan? How are you gonna win this? Because if you win, that night out and that evening in Bordeaux is going to be absolutely incredible. So come on, what are you doing to win?
Have you heard the term Le Crunch before, Robbie?
Oh, I have, but please explain.
So this fixture is usually called Le Crunch, or we call it that anyway. I'm sure the French hate that we call it that, because usually it is a massive game, very physical, and it's just had that nickname to it. And I think if France do match that physicality, then like Flito said, England haven't been tested yet. And sometimes with teams that haven't been tested, you can catch them cold a little bit, and they may win that physicality battle. But I agree that England are absolutely the favourites. They have been world class all tournament, and I do think it will be an upset if France win. But like Flito has said before as well, the France love the offloading game, and England haven't yet kind of been challenged with it to that extent. So that will be interesting how they defend that, whether they go in with a different game plan defensively, and how they react to that. So yeah, France are definitely going to test them, and I do think it will be close, but I think in the second half England will pull away with it with the depth of the bench that they have.
It's going to be so fun though. I'm so annoyed that I'm not going to be there. Imagine that evening in Bordeaux. It'd be amazing. Yeah, wow, what a proper exciting Super Saturday. And actually a Super Saturday where every single game has every single team playing actually for something technically. So that's going to be really, really exciting. So 12:15, Wales against Italy at the Principality, 2:30, Ireland against Scotland in Ulster, and 4:45 for Le Crunch, France versus England in Bordeaux. Let's get to this message from, oh, by the way, just quickly before we move on, quick bee in my bonnet. Can I just raise this? And I don't know whether or not I'm on my own about this, but one thing I'm really sick of, and I really want to hear less of this weekend. If you're listening, Sarah Orchard or Nick Heath, we love you so much. But please, can we please stop having broadcasters and commentators commenting on how loud the PA system is? Because I know it's loud. I can hear it. And it's meant to be loud. It's 2024. Stadiums are meant to build an atmosphere with music.
I agree.
Maybe it's a health and safety requirement. Maybe they have to like let the listeners know for ear safety.
But they don't have to.
I don't know.
Or someone's put 50p in the meter of the PA speakers, haven't they? Like, shut up.
I don't know.
It's loud.
No, you definitely want music blaring to create an atmosphere.
Yeah.
The games which have that atmosphere, like, everyone watching enjoys more. So for me, play the music, play it loud.
And even if it does mean as a player, you can't hear what's going on, that's fine. You don't need to, you know. It's entertainment, all right? Sports people, you're in the entertainment business. You're on board with that, Ellie, aren't you?
It is a little bit stressful, I'm not going to lie. Some day warm up. When you can't hear each other and you're like trying to like shout the calls to each other and you're like, what? What have you said? but no, I think it builds the atmosphere, and yeah, we want to see more of that. It's going to bring more fans to the game if it's a day out and it's entertaining and there's lots of music and fun going on. So really, I am just being a little bit boring with when I'm in the warm-up on the pitch and I can't hear.
Yes you are. All right, let's get to the message we've got from Annabelle, and then we will leave this podcast. Annabelle has sent us a message, thank you very much indeed. Says, hi Ellie, Robbie and Vicky. I'm fairly new to rugby, but have just started playing for my local club side, Old Northamptonians RFC. Big shout out to them. I'm loving it and have been watching the Six Nations, and know my beloved Wales may finish last and win the Wooden Spoon this year. However, I want to know why it's called the Wooden Spoon. I know I could just Google it, but I thought there might be that you might be able to give me a more entertaining answer. Thanks, Annabelle. Great question. Therefore, Vicky Fleetwood and Ellie Boatman, can you please give me your most creative story as to why the Wooden Spoon is called the Wooden Spoon?
I thought it was to do with the material of it, but I don't know if that's right. Because if you win, well, if you come first, you win a trophy, you get medals, they're all shiny and metal, and a wooden spoon is dull and boring. And it's not something that you would like to get, and it's not something great to look at. So that's why I thought it was a wooden spoon. No idea why it's a spoon, actually, but that was my theory.
I thought it came from something that wasn't sport.
Go on.
Oh, she's onto one. I don't really know, but I thought maybe the losers did get maybe given a wooden spoon, but I don't know because obviously they don't actually get given one these days. But yeah, I thought it came from something that wasn't sport.
Well, it's funny you say that, Vicky Fleetwood, because would you like to know why a wooden spoon in rugby or in sport is called the wooden spoon?
Is it because the losers do the cooking?
Hey!
Yeah, that would be a great reason.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
According to Wikipedia, and by the way, if this is true, which I assume it is, because everything on the internet is correct.
And anyone can edit Wikipedia, Robbie.
Can you check this somewhere else? Or
I'm not fact-checking my wooden spoon. No, absolutely not. feel free to in your own time if you want to fact-check this, you can. But anyway, according to Wikipedia, the wooden spoon was presented, and this shows how far the world has come. The wooden spoon was presented originally at the University of Cambridge as a kind of booby prize awarded by the students to the person who achieved the lowest exam marks but still earned a third-class degree in the mathematical tripos?
Only in math.
The term wooden spoon, or simply the spoon, was also applied to the recipient, and the prize became quite notorious. And they go on to say, the spoons themselves, actually made of wood, grew larger, and in latter years, measured up to 5 feet long.
Oh my God. A spoon that's 5 feet long.
Yeah.
What do you use that spoon for?
That's almost me as a spoon.
Okay, so if you're listening right now, picture Ellie Boatman, then in spoon form, and there you have it. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. That's quite scary.
So in answer to your question, Annabelle, essentially it comes from a load of posh idiots back in the olden days who formed it, and thankfully it's gone out of fashion, but it's stuck around with rugby terms.
No one likes maths, let's be honest.
I agree. Right, let's, by the way, we're going to park, you know what we're going to park this week is our pork/ham chat, because I'm waiting on an update. I'll level with you, I'm in correspondence with Aoife Wafer, and so once I've finished said correspondence with Aoife Wafer, I would like to bring us back to that conversation, but we'll do that next week on our Six Nations review, if that's all right with you both.
Sounds good.
All good with me.
Okay, good. We will leave it there for today's Outside Centre. If you have any correspondence, like wonderful Annabelle did, send it to us on Instagram or TikTok. It is at Outside Centre Pod. Subscribe, tell your friends and family. Please share this podcast wherever the hell you can. And before we go, quick thing that we need to address, the elephant in the room, which works because behind Ellie is an elephant. Ellie moves to her right-hand side and reveals said elephants on the wall. I need to stop saying tear it up, don't I? Because when we go at the moment and you guys say bye and then I finish with tear it up. Well, I thought that was because of the first week when we had the conversation. If you haven't listened to our first ever podcast, we sort of go through and categorise various rugby terms. And we said that tear it up was a big one. But then Ellie, you said to me once we finished recording last week with Eve Higgins, you mentioned to me that actually this term has bad connotations.
I just said that it reminded me of older men in blazers who use the term tear it up. And that was slightly controversial to you, Robbie.
And you hate it, Vicky, don't you?
No, I mean, I say it sometimes. It's just when you're like, tear it up at the end, like, bye-bye, tear it up.
Yeah. I see. So I'm cringing you out with saying tear it up. Okay. And Ellie, I'm becoming everything that I never wanted to be by saying it.
You can think of another slogan if maybe you want. We can get on board with another slogan.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I like to go into the well. Ooh. But you guys kind of poo-pooed no. that.
Yeah.
Oh, I would prefer tear it up to going to the well.
And have you heard anyone else other than Chris Jones say it?
No, but...
No.
Well, even more reason to make it ours. Okay, should we just end on a simple bye?
Sure.
All right, fine. We'll be back next week with our review. Oh, well, me and Vicky will be back next week. Someone, though, is heading to Singapore.
I will be on a plane on Super Saturday, annoyingly, but yes, off to Singapore to play in the World Series again for Sevens. So I'm very much looking forward to it. Never been, really excited to go to a new country, so... I will be playing rugby and you guys will be podding together. So I'm looking forward to hearing that.
This is what happens when you have a superstar on your pod. She just has to jet set. Off she goes. Goes to play a little bit of rugby all around the world.
Unbelievable. But you'll have a great time. We'll be cheering you on from afar, Ellie. I don't know what to say. Have fun. Good luck.
Fun. Good luck. Yeah, exactly that.
Don't get a red card.
Don't do that. Go nice and low. Round the legs with your tackles this time.
Chop tackle. Okay. Thanks for the advice, Robbie.
Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.